The View from Planet Nancy.
Hello, I'm Nancy Casey. When I was in high school, this electric typewriter was at the cutting edge of technology. In our physics books, which did go up as far as E equals mc squared, the smallest particles were protons, neutrons, and electrons, and the Big Bang was a fantasy, not a theory. The ensuing decades have added new vocabulary, quarks, charm, superstrings, and new concepts too. But I don't know what they are. Is it important to know? I don't even know that, but I'm willing to hear science out on the topic, if I can. Physicist and mathematician Brian Greene takes 569 pages to lay it all out for the average reader in his book, The Fabric of the Cosmos, Space, Time, and the Texture of Reality. I'm giving it a go. I'm on page 50. Any explanation of special relativity always seems to start out by setting up an imaginary situation where light beams and moving objects can be tracked by observers who are also moving. In the versions I remember, you are asked to picture railroad cars where flashlights are being turned on and off while the cars themselves pass each other going in opposite directions. All the while, observers in the car and on the platform take measurements. Brian Greene uses updated imagery and asks us instead to imagine Bart Simpson on a nuclear-powered skateboard trying to chase down a beam of light while Lisa takes the measurements. The upshot of it all is that there's more to it than just saying that nothing goes faster than the speed of light, or that someone blasted away in a light-speed rocket would come home years later much younger than everyone who stayed behind. The description of the theory, with its various observers, their relative speeds, and differing measurements, probably helped give rise to the notion linking the theory of relativity to the idea that everything is relative. Albert Einstein thought the theory of relativity was an inappropriate name for his idea. He preferred to call it the theory of invariance, because there's a whole lot more than the speed of light that doesn't change. Everything travels at the speed of light. Everything. You, me, Bart Simpson's skateboard, we're all traveling at the speed of light through space-time. Not space and time, but space-time. Multiple dimensions, some of them in space, and one of them in time. A person standing still beside a bicycle is whizzing straight through the time dimension of space-time at the speed of light. When the person climbs on and starts to pedal, the velocity of the bike doesn't change, but its direction in space-time does. While the bike continues to cruise through space-time at the speed of light, its motion in the space dimension decreases its motion through time. Even at top speeds through space, people, bicycles, and rockets are traveling mostly through time. Light, unlike people, bicycles, and rockets, can travel entirely in the space dimensions, so the speed of light is actually short for the speed of light traveling exclusively through space, and only light can do that. What's relative in special relativity are space and time. They exist in tandem. What's invariant is velocity. Everything is moving always at the speed of light. Sometimes straight through space, like light. Sometimes straight through time, like an object at rest. And sometimes through both, like any material thing that is moving. I had to take a walk to think that over. I marveled at myself locomoting across a field and through the minutes at the speed of light. I guess the distance from one moment to the next is a whole lot farther than we think, because we have to go awful fast just to get there. That's The View from Planet Nancy. Thank you for listening. I'll see you in orbit.
Transcripts of this and other editions of The View from Planet Nancy are available at authornancycasey.com, where you can also sign up for a podcast and leave your comments. The View from Planet Nancy is produced with help from Radio Free Moscow in Moscow, Idaho, and at krfp.org. Music by Kevin MacLeod.